Someone, for example, smokes. Of course, you can tell them, look, for the sake of others, refrain and all those things. But you cannot come to them and say, thou shalt not smoke, without dealing with what caused them to smoke in the first place. Perhaps it's their loneliness. And that leads to their physical taste of it. I mean, some of you have been drinking. I don't drink myself. Some of you who have been alcoholics, sometimes I hear your testimony, and you, some I heard shared to me says, actually it doesn't taste nice. But it's the experience of replacing it with that thing in your heart that's trying to satisfy you. The effects of it that you're going after. So there's something in the heart. In other words, let's look at what Jesus is trying to say. New Testament Christianity always deals with the root and the source. Now, in life, there will always still be rules and regulations. All you have to do is get into your car and you start driving. It tells you which side of the road to drive. It tells you red is stop, green is go, yellow is get ready to stop. So there are already rules existing. And there are people enforcing it. But the emphasis should be helping someone get rid of what's causing them. In other words, if you could obey everything outwardly, but inside you're miserable, you still ain't got it yet. It's still, you haven't got it yet. You see, Jesus did talk about persecution and everything. And then Jesus says, rejoice. So in other words, even if you are suffering for Christ, but you're feeling miserable because you're being persecuted, you haven't got it yet. Oh, the day comes when you're persecuted and you feel joy, then you really got what Jesus was trying to get at. So you see how far we are strayed from Jesus' original standard of Christianity. So Jesus is saying, I want to put something in your life, something in your heart that will change and transform you, that will exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. The only way you could travel at 1,000 miles per hour, 2,000 miles per hour, break the speed of sound, is to use a totally different propulsion method. You know, for man to break the speed of sound, they have to get off the ground, because it's not safe to travel on the ground trying to break the speed of sound. Although they do try to do it in some desert somewhere. But then, guess what? You cannot use the old four-cylinder engine to break the speed of sound. They need, in the natural, number one, new propulsion methods. Rocket propulsion. Based on a totally different scientific principle. Four-cylinder engines, and all the cylinder engine is based on push and pull, push and pull. Rocket propulsion is based on the law of action and reaction. Totally different scientific law being tapped. Number two, they need a redesign of the entire vehicle. To get past the speed of sound, they have to follow the shape that will help to break the sound barrier. To pierce through the resistance of the air. So they had a new shape. And they get easier to break it off the ground. So you had to apply the laws of flight and all the laws that are involved in flying. The redesign of the end of the wings, etc. So three major areas have to be looked at in the natural. Now, when Jesus asks us to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, there need to be a redesign, a reapplication of the force that drives us. The Old Testament law, those four-cylinder engines, not good enough. you need a new propulsion engine. That's why Jesus says, you must be born again. It's impossible to keep Jesus' standard without being born again. Because unless we are born again, your old nature keeps giving all the wrong things. But your new nature is different. So Jesus has already given us all inside. If you're born again, you got a new propulsion engine on your inside that can get past the speed of natural sound barrier. You could get past that. And that force may not have been utilized there. For many of us are born again and we don't realize what greatness is it in that born again experience. John Osteen in his book, in one of his little book about the supernatural, he talks about how he came across this shaman among the Eskimos. And this shaman could astral travel. And one day this shaman, before he was born again, he was going to astral travel to do harm to somebody else. To kill or to make evil on somebody else. And then as he went into the spirit realm, as he came near this group of people, he said, he saw something that came from their life. Some sort of light was coming from them. That was not in other people. They were born again Christian. And at first he was very frightened. And he don't dare to approach. He found he could not do whatever evil. When he went back into his body, he started finding out why these people have this light. And later when he was born again, he told Christians in his testimony, says, you do not know what power you already have. You do not know what power you already have. Great power. The propulsion in you has been given. Then of course, we need different laws to walk into that dimension. We walk on a different law. And the law is a law of transformation, not just reformation. Towards the end of every year, many people make New Year resolutions. Born again Christians make New Year transformations. You want Jesus to reveal more of you. And this is the law. These are the laws. Just as there are laws for planes to fly. To overcome gravity, the law of gravity pulls you down, but to have the law of flight is basically based on design. So that when that vehicle passes through the air, the design causes the air to flow over the top so that the pressure above is less than the pressure below, and there's a sort of vacuum produced on top. So something's always, you know what, a vacuum sucks. So the design would sort of makes it go up because there's less pressure up, and so it's like being sucked up. The design of the vehicle, the wings of an airplane are very important. It has to be designed in such a way that it takes longer for the air to flow past than below to get what I call lift. And so in the spiritual realm, this is the law of transformation. As you see Christ, then are you changed. That means the more you see Him clearly, the more you are changed. So it's a different law operating than the Pharisees. It's not just the more knowledge and laws and rules you get, but the more the eyes of your spirit can see. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That as Christ is revealed in your heart, so are you transformed. And I would like to read that verse to you. In 2 Corinthians. Different laws are operating in transforming people. Chapter 4 says in verse 6, for it's God who commands light to shine out darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And also chapter 3 verse 18, But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So you have it there. As you behold and see, so are you transformed. That is the law. And all of us have what we call a progressive revelation of Christ. There's so much that Christ can reveal to us. The more you see Him in the eyes of your heart and mind, the more you see it in your inner man, the more you are changed. And when you have this absorbed into your life and follow Matthew 5, you're dealing with younger Christians is different. Now, younger Christians and new Christians will always have all kinds of worldly things and bad habits still stuck to them. They're born again, but they're learning how to walk with God. So if you bring a group of young new Christians, let's say they are fit straight on the streets, you give them a whole book of Thou Shall Nots, you kill them. You're using Old Testament methods and Old Testament doctrine in a New Testament age. But the way to change is a different dimension. All you have to do is drag them along to the times of your prayer. As you pray with them side by side, Jesus who reveals Himself to you every time you pray will reveal Himself to them. And bring them into the presence of God wherever there's a presence of God. And watch and see if in 1 year they are not changed. I can guarantee you they will be changed. And in fact, they will be changed in such a way that they don't realize they're changing. They come to you one day and say, I don't know, you know, that day after we pray together, I mean, something in my heart got touched by Christ. It's like I really know Him and see Him, and something dropped on me, and I just don't like to do those old things I did before. These are the new laws that are operating. That was not possible in the old. The more revelation of Christ comes in your life, the more people are changed. Now, if we have this attitude, we won't run around like Pharisees trying to get people to do things. What will we do? We begin to get people to join us as we seek the Lord. Because you can't reveal God to them, you can reveal through your life, but Jesus has to reveal Himself to them personally. And that's all that you're doing. Drawing people unto the Lord. I will guarantee, if you want another younger Christian or you want to make disciples of somebody else, the way is bring them into your prayer closet. Bring them into the times you seek God. Bring them into the times that you seek God. And just bring them along. And as you seek God, let them see you seeking God and let them seek God in their way with you. And watch them change. Glory to glory to glory. This is a New Testament method. And as you summarize, three little words, they are very important. In a New Testament Christian, all that Jesus is trying to tell us here. Number one is transformation. Transformation. Three little T's are important. Number two is time. Transformation needs time. It's not instant. Because we can only take so much of God at one time. And then we are changed and we are formed and then we begin to re-strengthen and then we seek Him again. So number one is transformation. Number two is time. And that's why in the Bible there's such a thing as growing in God. Growth takes time. And Jesus talks about being born again. He didn't talk about being transformed instantly into a spiritual adult. When you're born again, what happens? You're a spiritual babe. And for a babe to grow into the higher things of God, Jesus said, make disciples. That is the growth period. And in the book of 1 John, he talks about three groups of people you find. He says, to those children, these are my commandments. To the young man, these are my commandments. To you, father, these are my commandments. Now, he's not just talking about natural children, natural young people, and natural old people, natural fathers. He's talking about spiritual children. If you notice a qualification, and spiritual young people, and spiritual fathers, or mothers, if you want it to be. He's talking about the three stages of growth. And each one is defined specifically in the book of 1 John. So there is growth, which means take time. Take time. Therefore, it would be wrong for us to straight away impose all our thou shall nots upon anyone. And it will be more spiritual for us to take a person by the hand and let them visit with Christ. Every time you visit God's throne, take them by the hand and let them be changed. That is discipling. The third one.